Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how you doing today? This is comedian Organic OK. And this show platform today is called Seeing the Change from the Past and Being the Change for the Future. You know, it's multiple insights that people get from that, just the name by itself. Today I have a special guest, and I believe all the guests that we have, you know, come from a special place of organic, and that's where everybody is free. We're not combining levels of cross-contamination from experiences, but healing, seeing what's, now, that person got cross-contamination, let's see how we can clean up behind that, so the next person that attaches themselves to the actual mental or the physical form, and not carrying on with the germs and the things that are going to, in a sense, you know, mess up the person behind. That's what happens today. Guest, can you announce yourself?
Yes. My name is Tanisha Torres Walker, and I'm a co-founder and executive director of Sacred Term Project in Contra Costa County, California.
Well, thank you. So today, the show, it's not always as simple as it looks. When you hear the word being battered, you know, as a woman, what do you think about when you hear the conversation battered from your point of view? What do you get from that?
When I hear the term battered, I think about harm. I think about harm being done, you know, either from one individual to another. But I've also learned over the years that we can also be battered by systems, and we just have to define what that is. That I think about that, and normally in society, we just think about women.
Well, why do you think that is?
I think that's because there's a lot of research out there that says that like men are less likely than women to report when they've been abused, and it have a lot to do with how, like, in society we have condition men to believe that they're weak or somehow less than if they come out and say that they have endured an experience where they've been harmed, like, let's say, spousal abuse, for example, or even sexual abuse, that, like, it's almost socially not accepted for men to come out and be honest about, like, these things happening to them, because they could feel shame or be ridiculed or called weak and things of that nature. So it's not that men don't have these experiences, like, being battered or being harmed, and particularly in relationships and as it relates to socially. It's just that we have, in society, condition them to believe that they don't count when it comes to needing access to healing and understanding when it comes to these types of things, specifically intimate partner violence and sexual violence.
See, one of the things that I see to be, if you had pit women in the actual opposition, if they're carrying the actual root and carrying the opposition. If you pin everything to the woman, you can take the trash out and put the trash can in a setting where it's isolated. So they use the components of using women to say women, hey, women opposition, hey, this is women. And at the same time, they are stealing from the actual label. That label, it's just a label to actually pit this kind of group and pit them in the forefront. But everybody know, when you're digging into a bag, you know, you can hide your hands and you don't really see the illustration of what really is going on behind the scenes. And that's it's not by accident. It's by design. And it's so many components of that where you see so many women at times have never even understood what that meant. They've never been, bodily harmed, or if they really did, they say it's more women being harmed than men, okay? But that's only the ones that are saying they've been harmed. Now, in the fair platform, what is technically fair, okay? If fair is, if yes is yes, no is no, then how many times have we overstepped the actual fair factor, right? We modify the rule so we can customize the sexuality, and if the sexuality is not attached to man or woman, then what are we really using it for? You know, they have attached sexuality, personality to women, and if that's what they're trying to do is trying to turn it off and actually allow all these components of people to carry emotion, like almost like, you know, refugees of personalities. And if people are castrating people's personality, they, you know, all these things, then what are we really looking for to change if we're running back into the same thing as cross-contamination? That's what we run into. We're into cross-contamination of people's personalities. And if this is more for people who are dealing with ego trips and not really addressing what's the problem, then the problem have been always, in a sense, a diversion. It's been something to put out there, show something that may not be really what's going on. You know, it's something that's deeper psychologically than they're actually willing to really commit to. What do you feel about that?
Well, I think, I mean, as a woman myself and having been, like, on both sides of, like, intimate partner violence and things like that, I mean, I will say on a global scale, like, women have been deemed socially subordinate to men, and there are laws and, you know, practices and policies that prevent that really divide men and women socially, and that is proven that, like, women do suffer a lot of abuse. Now the numbers are highly recorded for women because women are more likely, and not all women, to publicly about the abuse that happened to them. But there are numbers around men, but the numbers are lower because, like I said, socially, through gender roles and how we have conditioned society, that, like, you know, men are supposed to be masculine and strong and tough, and being vulnerable is out of alignment with that. And so what happens is that the numbers of men who suffer, inter-partner, you know, violence, or even sexual violence might be equal, you know, could possibly be equal to that of what women suffer, but men report on a lower scale due to shame and not wanting to, like, be publicly ridiculed. And I think what we have to deal with in society is that, like, look, I'm a woman, but I also know I was raised by five uncles. I know how to change a tire. You know, like you said, take out the trash. I'm willing to do that. You know, I'm willing to do all those things, but I also have a partner who has been conditioned to believe that, like, those are the roles of men, and, like, in different roles of women. But that's just how society is, right? And I think the only way that we could address these issues, like when you mentioned cross contamination, I just think of, like, healthy and unhealthy people. And how society is really sick, and therefore, by default, we are all sick, and that's why we have to change these things. When I think about a friend of mine who had a young daughter who was like 3 and my son was like 5 and they were playing and I was like, she's getting so big. And he was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do when she get older. I already got my shotgun, right? A very protective dad. But like I told him, I said, you know, we got into a conversation about social contracts and the idea that like it's his job, right, because he has a daughter, just in the context of our own relationship, to raise a reasonably healthy daughter. And it's my job to raise a reasonably healthy son, right, so that if they somehow by any chance grow up and run into each other, then we have two healthy people running into each other. You know what I mean? Two healthy people running into each other, and then those two healthy people can produce more healthy people, right? But most of us don't take on our own responsibilities, and then also like in society and in community, not just in families, because families are in communities. And what happens is we have unhealthy people passing down, like creating more unhealthy folks. And then we're exposed to an unhealthy society, and then I could be trying my hardest to raise a healthy son, but if he don't raise his daughter healthy, then my son could run into his daughter who have a lot of challenges, and then his life could be in a total upheaval, right? So I think that there are things that we need to look at around social conditioning, around what's considered, around gender roles, and like, How do we get past these things? Because like we in community have a work to do, and we have to challenge this like social conditioning. And I think like for men in general, which I'm not a man, but I have 2 sons, is that like I always encourage my sons to cry, right? Because like most of the time we don't do that socially, and so the outpouring, which could be pain, which could be sadness, which could be grief, all shows up physically as anger. And so when that's happening, I'm like, so you're sad, right? Because we don't allow those emotions to show up and be like what you said, organic in men, but they're supposed to be automatically organic in women. And then when women are desensitized or what people say, quote unquote, emotionally cold, then all of a sudden we're not really modeling what womanhood is, because women are seen as vulnerable, right? And so I think we just have a lot to do, a lot of work to do.
See the things that I'm noticing that are quite often been brought on the table is so many times that they're not allowing the factors of these different, you know. See, when you're dealing with different types of people, it's almost representing like someone's shoe size or someone's weight, depending on the outfit. It's certain things that people are taking away from something, and something that people are pitting into something. And we know it's not like, if you look at children and how they operate, a lot of times the children are fair. A lot of children are really fair. It's when they get exposed to too many people that are, you know, got this very, you know, system that's dividing, that the child picks up behavior. And that behavior that the child is carrying is phobias and things that the parent have planted into the womb. So the child can see the same person that the parent don't like or parent feel uncomfortable with, and the child's uncomfortable with. In reality, this may not be no wrong with the person around that child. But the child start pitting things that are contaminated to the actual inventory, and that becomes, in a sense, psychologically, that's graffitiing greatness. It makes it look very cheap, because if you look at people that change history, it's always been people that's been weak around them that destroyed them. And They may not destroy them directly from their own hand, but they allow it to happen as they seen the things unfold right in front of their eyes. And all the things that the people that were strong, they would not allow half the things that they allowed just to sneak up on that person. Isn't that something? And another thing in regards to that, because when we are looking at battered men, unbattered men, and other components of battered people, it's spaces of where a person that used to be battered, that was wise, they understand the very elegant and very delicate space of what that person dealing with. Those are very, clear about that. And when they talk to people, those are very bright. They talk to those people in a very intimate space where that nurturing growth is becoming harvest. And they clean up the things and make it easier for the person to digest and clear out the things that are not there. And they put that into the compost bin. And when you put that into the harvest compost bin, it doesn't destroy you. It actually makes you stronger when those things in the actual, compost of your greatness. When people look and help you mold those things and give you the better, perspective of things that can help you in a different way, you become even more wealthy in the actual ability to understand and listen. What do you feel about that?
I mean, part of what I think about is like my own personal transformation and the work, a lot of work and introspection that I had to do on myself and look at, things I have experienced, mistakes I've made, what I had to overcome and reflect on where I am today. And like you mentioned, it's like it's a culmination of things, right? So I can't just like say, okay, that was me then, this is me now, and like I can't, none of that is a part of me, because it is, right? But growth sprang from all of those collective experiences. So when you think about, you talk about compost, right? So when I think about compost is the leftovers, right?
Yeah, it's the leftovers.
But instead of throwing it away, we use it to produce new growth, right?
Correct.
New things, right? Or something new, right? And then even that something new then, eventually becomes a part of that compost, right? And then it's like a cycle of new, taking the old and producing new growth. And so I think that we all have that, but most folks don't have the space or haven't been put in position to really like reflect on those things in that way, and therefore we're stagnant. We can't see our own growth, for one, if we have any, and other, and then we leave ourselves open, and that's what I think about that.
Okay, I understand, but at times where we, because this is the thing that I see quite often. There's a lot of people individually want certain types of things to happen, and they take it upon themselves to, kind of narrate and project those things into the actual capacity where they have reached, at their limit, they have reached the maximum of understanding of what they're at that time. It's almost as they say crab in a bucket effect, right? So this is what I'm telling you. See, the crab in the bucket effect is similar to this. While the crab is pulling each other, the crabs down, it's beneficial to the person that's actually benefiting through the opposition that the crabs are teaching and pinning each other through. But the person that actually pull the crab up out of the actual, tank that they're in and throw them in hot water, and then take them out and then start, dipping the, breaking the fingers off and start dipping the fingers into this actual butter and then having lemon and lime, see, it's in the actual ability of what they see the opposition is pitting each other through. And it's a machine, it's a process. They say, oh, this is a step and this is a process, but then there's the other part where we've seen where this is limited for them, but it's actually benefiting to the next party, right? So the parties that are benefiting through the opposition, those parties they're always willing to see the opposition, and they're willing to understand how healthy your pain is so they can succeed even more, because as they know, it's a thing. If you hang around a gorilla, understand how the gorilla unpeels the actual banana, right? Once it unpeels, you understand, oh, okay. Now, it's another thing to say, oh, I'm a gorilla now. No, you become crazy. See, and that's what people figured out. They figured out what is the solution to all the madness, right? And when you're able to see this, we're at 21 after the hour. This is Comedian Organic OK. And this show is called Seeing the Change from the Past, Being the Change for the Future. And so when you start seeing components of your greatness, this is a good example that I'm about to say. And when you see people that focus on all the destruction and things in their life and things that they have been, you know, rejected and see, when you go into the capacity of creating, it can be very disruptive to your thought. Most people, they tell you, you can't have all these disastrous things in your mind as you're trying to mold things. Some people, they actually utilize that as motivation, but if you have all this hate and destruction in a creative space, it zaps your energy. It really has zapped your energy. And I'm like, why is this so making people mind see all these things to make them, as they get to an environment or get to a social class where people are just creating and they're in a place almost like someone is in one and they're like exercising. It's almost like they get like this like anxiety attack where they can't see the ability. They're more caught up in the people and what they're thinking compared to the creative space that creation gives them a freedom. And once you tap into that, you start seeing things that you really cannot subconsciously connect to and be creative the same thing. It takes away from you. So you say, look at this. How society have people believe these people are just somebody of normal capacity and normal thinking? Look at this. You see a dog, your next door neighbor dog. That dog want to tear you apart. But if they don't feed that dog for a week, 2 weeks, and you went over there to that same vicious dog and fed that dog, you don't think that dog will give you some respect? The dog will give you some respect. So how can you deal with people that come from other environments and they don't have nothing? You give them something. What is in their DNA in their psychological uniform to let them feel like they can alterate what is shown to be changed? If you're going through something considered less than that, and you start adapting, be fair to people that may have gave your uncle, may have gave your grandparents some trouble, you start being fair with them. So we're in a psychological platform. Someone that comes from a different setting, see the different connection, and still have the same evil. And it hasn't got weaker, it's got even stronger. That's the same thing as you see a beautiful woman, okay, and that woman being castrated through life, and then a guy that sees all the potential, he has no evil, no bad intention, he's overwhelmed with this woman's beauty, but it's very weird because as he's overwhelmed with her beauty, he's always being undermined because she don't respect him calling her beautiful because what she has experienced. And to him, it drives him crazy. He's like in a space where he levitates at the thought of seeing this person, but at the same time, he gets seasick mentally talking to the person. So it's so many things of this capacity that we deal with where people are, in a sense, coming from different backgrounds, and they don't tell you these people are not average. These people are geniuses that with the opposition, because the average person cannot mold this kind of evil. And there's something to true is evil that you see in society. They always tell you about people that have mental issues. That's evil. Oh, this person is evil, got mental issues, eating food is not good, had lead in the pipes and lead in the, you know, the paint on their property, and all these psychological trauma. So that made them. But they don't tell you so much about people that eat good, got a healthy, balanced diet and nutrition, and how evil they truly are eating correct. They don't tell you about those type of people. They intentionally sabotage, intentionally undermine you, and you think, you don't know. It's that's the worst kind of evil, somebody eating healthy. You know, they got healthy cholesterol is on point, they're exercising, but they just scowling to no good for no good reason. They don't prepare you for that, but they always tell you about people that got mental problems. Well, this person is this. Okay, so are we focused on people that got mental problems, or are we focused on people that don't got mental problems that's doing more worse than people that got problems? We ain't talking about that in society. But that is something that I say, hey, how can society, look at this, you go to a store that's in a community, and these people milk all the knowledge out of you, ask you all these kind of questions like you are some kind of, it's intellect property they're stealing from you. Ideas, and take it around, give it to the store, this store. Imagine you came as a regular person by from the store and asked them, write or have a note, and start asking them, hey, how did you get your grant? Where did you come from? How did you get this money? How did you do this and this and this and this and this? They were full offended every time you came in there and had information, and all the people figure out, hey, we can go buy wholesale collectively. We can go do all these things and say, hi, how you doing? Take care. And then call them your friend or call my brother and start calling all these psychological things that's always seem to be giving you the short end of the stick. How would they feel if you went to school and got all the knowledge of business and then go to all the business and tell people how they can go somewhere else and get it cheaper and show them the way? Hey, you can ride this different public transportation service. We can go over here. I found out this and this and this. We can do this collectively. These people we drove out of business. And they will feel like you undermining them. So how they feel when they playing politic games with supposed to be people of the people. They're undermining people, giving them drugs, giving them things in the community, and people that are supposed to be bad in the community spend the same money with the same people that put no good. And if they're not being prosecuted for having, financial money that is no proof where the money came from, they're prosecuting the person that has the money, but they're not prosecuting the business that actually took the money, right? This money's being turned over. You know, and then the people are taking the same tactics on supporting people in bigger capacities and telling you they don't have available money because they got to take care of this, they got to take care of that. And really, that's another form of abuse, you know, because you give your brother, you give your sister something that you ain't supposed to have, and you benefit off of your sister and your brother's demise, and then you say, oh, this is my family and I care. That's not caring. You know, that is very politic, and I call it, you know, it's a word they use all the time. They call it, you know, propaganda. That's a propaganda uniform. And in business, what they tell you? In business, in the setting, the government is the one that owns propaganda. Prejudice, infrastructure, racism, infrastructure, it is a business. So anytime people as a person, regardless of part of the world they come from, if you're plagiarizing the government entity, people should be getting some back text on you being prejudiced and being racist and throwing the institutionalized platforms in a way where people are feeling the wrath of the hand.
This is Comedian Organic, okay? I just say thank my guests for taking the time to be on the show. And this show is seeing the change from the past being the change for the future. And we are wrapping the show up. Would you like to tell them anything else regards to how they can locate you on social media or anything?
Yeah, definitely. So just want to make like one or two points from what I heard from you really quick. One is that the crab in a bucket analogy, if we're talking about like living in an organic situation, the crab in a bucket analogy, really, crabs are not germane to a bucket. It is not their natural environment. Of course, they would climb on top of each other and crush each other trying to get out of an environment that is not natural or conducive to how they naturally live. And I think that's what we deal with every day in our communities. And so I think that we should really, when we use that analogy, we should be addressing the fact that the conditions we live in aren't natural to who we really are and how we can be healthy. I also want to say that dehumanizing anything that looks different is only the activity of a person with a closed mind, and that we can all live different. We can all be different and live in harmony. I do want to say that we should not fall victim to propaganda, but we should take back the narrative and create our own news and have our own discussions like you do here on this show. And then I just want to let folks know that, you know, if you want to follow me on Facebook, you can friend me at Tanisha Torres. If you want to follow our organization on Facebook, you can find us at Safe Return Team on Facebook. You can also go to our website, www.safereturnprj.org, if you want to see more about the work that we do around, you know, mass incarceration, health and healing. If you just want to shoot me a quick text because I have an open book policy, you can reach me at 925-335-6738.
Well, thank you again for breaking that down.
Thank you. This was an amazing show.
Everybody, we're going to look forward to hearing your voice be planting the seeds that bring the dinner table and love together. Till next time, this is Comedian Organic and okay. And we are out for the, what they call it, out for the moment, but we are together for the lifetime of investments. Everybody take care. Y'all very soon.